My name is Wei Yi. I'm an assistant minister here at All Saints, and it's great to be celebrating Jesus' resurrection with you all this morning. I think it might have been Mark Twain who supposedly had this quote where he said that a good sermon has a great beginning and a great conclusion, and that they would be as close together as possible. I'm not sure I can abide by that rule. It's a great rule. But I mention that because, well, jokes are good. It is a day of joy. And let me now test your joyful sound response. Christ is risen. That Christ is risen indeed is not just a declaration that Christians repeat every year, once a year. No, this is it. This is the center of our faith, the reason for our hope and joy, that one man came back to life, and his name is Jesus Christ. Christians believe, yes, that he died and was buried, but we are also convinced that he rose again on the third day as the impossible conqueror of sin and death, and that he will come again in the future to create his new world as glorious Lord and Master of all. Jesus has won. Satan and evil could not stop him, and now nothing can. And because he has won, Christians have won. We who trust in him have won, because our lives are deeply linked to his. Interestingly, our reading from Acts 10 is not a traditional resurrection account that we might read at Easter. We don't actually see the empty tomb or Jesus appearing to his disciples. Instead, we have Peter telling the story of Jesus, his life and his death and resurrection, to others. And as Peter speaks, something remarkable happens at the end to those who are listening. That those people encounter the very power of resurrection as they themselves have God's Spirit poured out on them as they hear his word. And this reminds us that Easter is not only about some event, an event that happened 2,000 years ago. It is about what is still happening today as a result of Jesus stepping out of that tomb. The Holy Spirit is still going out, carrying God's power today. Jesus is still at work today. And as his good news is proclaimed by his people, lives are still being transformed, hearts are still being awakened, and hope and joy are still breaking into our world. And speaking of breaking, do you know how much of a rebel Jesus was? In every part of his story, Jesus broke the limits on what people thought was possible. Think about his birth. Who would imagine that Almighty God, creator of everything, would come down and be born as a helpless baby? And in his life and ministry, Jesus broke so many limits. Through his words, his actions, his signs, his miracles, people saw a world more beautiful than anything they had experienced before. The power of God went with him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. The sick and the damaged were healed. The hungry were fed. The outcasts were welcomed. And the guilty were forgiven and freed. People who were burdened, ashamed, rejected, found in Jesus astonishing acceptance, deep love, and great freedom of their spirits. Jesus broke down so many barriers and limits. He proclaimed that the kingdom of God is near. And when people were near him, they tasted what life under God's true love really was like. But then, of course, came the cross. And it seemed like the greatest limitation of all. It still is the greatest limitation of all today. Jesus was arrested, tortured, and executed in the most painful and humiliating way. And to all those watching, whether for or against Jesus, the bloody cross looked like the end of all that hope, all that goodness, and that death had the final word. But of course, even this was not a limit for Jesus. Yes, the cross was costly, painful, terrible, but it was not the end. On the cross, Jesus took upon himself the ultimate punishment for all our sin and wrongdoing. But in his resurrection, he broke through the ultimate boundary, the ultimate limitation. Jesus defeated death itself, the very power that held humanity captive since the Garden of Eden, the beginning of time. And after doing this, he rose into unlimited life. And this new unlimited life was not just more of the same old life. It was fundamentally different and far greater. Jesus became a human who is never to die again. And his new body, though still physical, was no longer bound by ordinary limits. And if you're interested, you can read about him having fun, astounding his disciples with his newfound powers. Ask me later if you'd want to know where. Jesus' new life marked the beginning of his new kingdom. The kingdom of God was no longer just near. It had started with him to be here. For Jesus had opened the way for all people to share in his same unlimited life. And we really do mean all people. The most radical thing Peter discovered in Acts 10 is that there's no limit on who can come to Jesus. God shows no favoritism. There is no limit. If you really turn to God, you will turn and find that he is already turn to you with his unconditional love. What began as a message to one people was revealed to be a good news for the whole world. In fact, here in the account is Peter, a Jew, in the house of Cornelius, a Roman army officer. And when Peter's words and God's spirit flood into everyone, it is shown that God's salvation is for everyone, regardless of background. And it's an invitation that even now stands open to all of us. Anyone can belong. Anyone can have Jesus' unlimited life. And what's this unlimited life? It's also called eternal life, and also what Jesus refers to as abundant life. In his message, Peter describes that when we receive Jesus, we gain peace with God and forgiveness for our sins. That is, the unlimited, eternal, abundant life that Jesus gives us is a life connected to God in good and wonderful and loving relationship. Because when we are rightly connected to God, everything begins to change, both now and forever. No, abundant life does not mean that you suddenly get lavish homes, expensive cars, and more money than you know what to do with. No, we're not talking about abundant wealth, which, anyway, has never truly fixed things. Think about the richest people you know in the world. And in many cases, I think we shudder when we do so. No, Jesus' abundant life is far greater, far superior to that. It is an unlimited spiritual life. The thing that gets changed when you receive abundant life is you. When your life is linked to Jesus' unlimited life, you are the one being transformed, being made truly rich, truly powerful, even as you are deeply linked to the source of all goodness. This is the abundant life, to be known by Almighty God, the greatest person in the universe, and to live deeply loved by Him, and knowing that nothing can ever change that. That is true wealth. And from this foundation of knowing and being known by God, so much comes to us. We no longer fear death, for we are guaranteed that we will be with Him, both now in this world and in eternity when He renews everything. Death is the saddest and most terrifying thing when we stop distracting ourselves and come to face it with open eyes. And Jesus has freed us from this. And so we can be joyful in all things, even when we experience death and other limitations in this broken world. I know people, both here and elsewhere, friends and relatives, who, though they are in poor health or life conditions, are nonetheless strong towers of faith with deep-seated, unshakable joy, more free, more rich, more secure in spirit than many others, because they have Jesus' life and power in them. Jesus' power also means true transformation for our lives today. There are many areas of life where we often think are hopeless, but they can change with Jesus. Nothing is impossible for Him. Jesus and no one else saved me from many things, like anger, something that really came to a head as I started being a father. Yeah? Yeah. For a time, I tried to control it myself. You know, different advice, different techniques, changes of mindset. None of it really worked. Eventually, one day late at night, I cried out to God, "I am hurting my children. Save my children from me. You must do it, because I just cannot." And He answered. His spirit changed and continues to change my spirit as our two spirits connect. And Jesus' abundant life promises us new beginnings and second chances. We're never locked into sin, evil, or brokenness. His mercies truly are, as the Bible tells us, new every morning. And when we are linked to Jesus' abundant life, we also get linked to others who have His abundant life, the community of believers, all of you who sit here, and everyone in every other church in the world who truly praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is pretty amazing, because our family gets drastically expanded to a massive church family to love and to receive love from, almost no matter where you are. And along with all these great resources, we also receive in Jesus deep meaning and purpose. With Jesus, you are no longer, you know, drifting through life, but becoming who you are made to be with God. Jesus has made each of us, each of you, with different gifts and personalities, each of us to connect with different people, to understand God and to understand the world in different and unique ways. And each of us is highly significant in Jesus' eyes, for He has plans for each of us to join Him in His work, to not only be a part of His life, but also to be a beacon of His life to others. Just as Peter says that he was called to testify to the risen Lord Jesus, each of us is called to play a role in Jesus' world and to share His love and knowledge, even as we enjoy His love and knowledge. And when you connect to Jesus and ask Him, He unfolds what that looks like in your life. These are the things that Jesus has gained for us in his amazing resurrection. Do you know his life and freedom? Do you have his hope and joy? To my brothers and sisters who already rest in the true knowledge that you are God's children, remember again this Easter the greatness of what God has done for us. Remember Jesus' resurrection not as a distant event in the past, but as a living reality today. And let us be filled with hope and rejoicing because of this. Hope and joy are not passive things. They're things that you exercise, that you grow in being able to do. So I encourage all of you, children of God, think on the risen Jesus and the great abundance that he gives to us. Think on how he is alive, even now, walking with you, sharing his life with you. And as you do so, then ask, what does this mean for the things that I see and face today? What does this change about my fears, my struggles, my future? And how might this hope and joy that he gives to me overflow into the lives of those around me? Let us rejoice in Jesus' resurrection and live as people who know that it is Jesus, not Satan, not death, not anything in this world that has the final word. And for others, maybe you don't trust in Jesus yet. Maybe you're here today just visiting. Maybe you wandered in off the street. Maybe a friend invited you. Maybe you come once or twice a year, as is your tradition. We are so glad you're here. Welcome. What you've heard today is not just a tradition or a ritual. I hope you have heard that it is an invitation to something far greater. Christianity is not about having a passport to heaven and then moving on with life as usual. No, there is an abundance of life that Jesus calls us into, and it is worth exploring. If you have any questions, doubts, or objections about Jesus, his resurrection, his offer of life, or otherwise, don't ignore them. Don't leave this place unexamined. Why not make this year the year when you seriously look into Jesus and his offer of life? If you're not sure what to do, reach out. I and many others here would genuinely love to hear your point of view and to explore all these things together. And if this Easter, some of you, or you are someone who is feeling weighed down, maybe by guilt, by regret, by the weight of your own brokenness, hear this clearly. You can call on Jesus, and there is a sure promise attached to his name, that in him you are forgiven. In him you are welcomed, and he wants you to come and lay down your sin, your guilt, your shame, and take up the life, the freedom that he offers you. And if you do, tell someone so that people can rejoice with you, because this is exactly what God delights in, that people would know his freedom, his forgiveness, his unlimited, eternal, abundant life in him. At the end of our passage, you might remember that even as Peter was still sharing the word, the Holy Spirit broke out and fell on all who were listening. This is God's heart. What he wants, what he has always wanted, that as the good news of Jesus is heard here and all over the world, that the listeners, we would receive his Spirit and know his blessing and his abundant life. that he gives freely and powerfully. Friends, let me pray for us as we end. Our dear Heavenly Father, your wisdom and love and power are on full display in the resurrection. Thank you so much for the good news of Jesus and his offer of joyful and abundant life to us today. Send your Holy Spirit to fill your people, to fall upon them in blessing. Let each person in this room, hearing about your love and goodness, know strongly your presence, that they may know you love them wherever they are at. You love us even if we feel far from you, and you call us all to joy, to be your beloved children, to live freely in your love and in your true life. God, I pray that you bring each person here to have an experience of your true joy this Easter. Glorify yourself among us. All these things I pray in the most powerful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.